Welcome to Cross to Light. Cross to Light has been organized for the purpose of helping people cross from darkness to light by hearing the gospel message. We are a ministry fully committed and dedicated to getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of His might. And now, here's today's message.
Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man would one even dare to die. Yet God demonstrates his own love towards us, and then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned before God. It says that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. The Bible says that we've all turned to our own. Many people out there would say, "Well, I don't know why Jesus would have to die for me. I'm a good person. I've done a lot of good things in my life." But the Bible says there's not a just man on the earth that does good and does not sin. It says we have all sinned before God. And if you want to know exactly how you are going to do when you stand before God, you need to look into the law of the Ten Commandments. And as you look into the Ten Commandments, the mirror of the Ten Commandments, you'll know exactly how you'll do on that day. The Bible tells us in the first commandment that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength. God demands to be first in our life. Do you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Do you delight yourself in the law of the Lord? God demands to be first. The Bible tells us in Revelation 3:11 that He created us for His good pleasure. It says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and became futile in their mind, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became as fools. The Bible says, because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, He gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are unfitting. Do you retain God in your knowledge? Is God first in your life? Is He the first thing that you think about when you wake up in the morning? God demands to be first. The Bible says, "The Lord thy God is a jealous God, and He'll have no other gods before me." Is God first in your life? The second commandment says, "Thou shalt not make any graven images," an idol. An idol is anything that takes God's place in your life. It could be an idol or a god of silver and gold. Maybe you worship money, and that's all you think about when you get up. You go to work and you work and work and work all day and all night, and you neglect your children and your family because you worship the idols of gold and silver that cannot satisfy. Maybe you worship the god of pleasure or sex. What do you think about constantly? Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Do you constantly think about money? Do you constantly think about other things other than God? He demands to be first in your life. The Bible tells us that thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. Do you take 1 day a week out and spend time with God? Do you spend any time with God? God created you for His good pleasure. Or do you just constantly think about yourself and to fulfill your lust? The Bible says, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Do you use God's name as a cuss word? The very God that God told Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, he says, the very God that holds your breath in his hand, you have defiled. And today your kingdom is divided. Do you blaspheme God's name? The very God that allows you to breathe, the very God that allows your heart to beat? Do you use his name as a cuss word? The Bible says that he will not hold him guiltless who uses my name in vain. The first five commandments deal with your relationship with God. As Jesus says, all the commandments are summed up in this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The last five commandments deal with your neighbor. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Do you have anger in your heart? Jesus says that if we have anger in our heart, it's the same as murder, because that's where murder starts, in the heart. Do you have anger in your heart? The Bible says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries. The Bible says, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Are you mad at somebody right now? Maybe you're mad at your boss. Maybe you're mad at somebody that did something wrong to you. They stole something. You can't get that thought out of your mind. The Bible says, anger and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible tells us to beware lest any root of bitterness springing up, and by this many become defiled. Are you angry with somebody? The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. Maybe that you're blaspheming somebody's name when they're not there, and you're defiling them, and you can't stop thinking about them, and it's consuming your life. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Is your heart right towards God? Or do you have murder in your heart? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus says that if we've lusted towards another person, that we've committed adultery in our heart. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries. Is your heart loyal to God? Are you committing adultery in your heart? Maybe you look at sites on the internet and you go there constantly every day, and you think that nobody knows. You think that your wife doesn't know. You think that God doesn't know. But the Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's watching everything that you do. God's eyes are on you, friend. The Bible says that we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses. Everything that's done in the inner room will be shouted from the housetop. Do you think that God doesn't see when you look at those magazines? Or when you stare at those ladies that go by? Do you think God doesn't see that? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you realize that that's someone's daughter? Do you understand that that could be somebody else's wife? God will hold you accountable. Everything that you are doing is being recorded in a book. And it's all going to be brought out to the light. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God will lead to repentance? Surely these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Are you involved in stealing right now? It doesn't matter the size of it. Are you stealing? Maybe you're downloading music on the internet, and you think just because everyone does it, God doesn't see. Maybe you're stealing from your work. Maybe you're constantly thinking of different ways that you can get ahead by oppressing others. Are you involved in stealing? Maybe you're dishonest on your taxes, or you lied on an application so you can get more money. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. This comes along with stealing. Usually after we steal, we have to cover it up and we start to lie. Are you lying right now? Maybe you're lying when you come home from work late and you tell your wife, this is where you were, this is why you were late. Do you understand that you are being watched, that everything you do is being recorded in a book, and that you have violated God's commandments? The Bible says the law was written that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will become guilty before God. The law is a schoolmaster to lead you to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that we're all guilty before a living and a holy God, and there will be a day of righteous judgment? That every idle word that comes out of our mouth will be accounted for. It's all being recorded. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Do you see someone else's car or someone else's house? And that maybe now that you want that house, you want a bigger house than them, that you want what they have. Maybe you're coveting their wife or their bank account or their job. God says, thou shalt not covet. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says we have all sinned. We are all guilty before God, that there is none righteous. No, there's none that does good. There is not a just man on the earth that does good and does not sin. We have all sinned. The Bible tells us in 1 John that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In Psalms 51, it says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. In Ephesians, it says, we are by nature children of wrath. We are all guilty before God. On this one will I look, on him who has a broken and contrite spirit. We need to humbly come before God and realize that we have all sinned. We are all guilty before God, that there is none righteous. Don't think by your good works for some reason that's going to make up for all the wrong things that you have done. In the book of Isaiah, God says that our good works are like filthy rags. In the book of Titus, it says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's but what he has done on the cross. Your good works can't make up for the wrong things that you've already done and the wrong things that you're going to do. We are all guilty before God. It's not that we loved God, but that God loved us, and he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. No greater love than this would a man lay down his life for his friends. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Your sins have separated you from God. When God created Adam and Eve, the first two human beings, and he put them in the Garden of Eden, he gave them all the fruits and all the vegetables they needed to eat. And the Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the garden. And he had that fellowship, that one-on-one personal relationship with them. And he told them, you can eat from any of the fruits in the garden, but the one tree that's in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. And through a series of events, they ate from that fruit. The Bible says that the fruit on that tree was more attractive than any other fruit, just as sin is attractive. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the end thereof is death. And they ate from that tree. The Bible says the minute they ate from that tree, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death has spread to all men. The minute they ate from that tree, that a wall went up between a holy God and sinful man. In the book of Isaiah, God says, is my hand short that I cannot touch you? No. Is my ear heavy that I cannot hear you? No. But your sins have separated me from you. You are separated from God in your sins. In the book of Psalms, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. He alone is in mortality. He dwells in unapproachable light. Heaven is perfect. God is holy. And we have sinned. Yet God demonstrates his own love towards us. And then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On the day of Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, the Yom Kippur means atonement, at one with. The nation of Israel throughout the year, because of their sins and their transgressions, would be separated from God. And on that one day, the high priest would come to the designated place, and they would take a goat, and he would put his hands on that goat, and they would slit the throat of the goat, and they would take the blood of that goat into the Holy of Holies, and they would sprinkle it on top of the mercy seat and on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was through the blood, the shedding of blood, because the Bible says it's the blood that makes atonement for the souls. And when they put their hands on that goat, they would be a substitutionary sacrifice. The goat would take the place of the people. The sins of the people would be transferred onto the goat, and the goat would die, and they would take that blood into the Holy of Holies. And it was through the blood that they were able to approach God, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only thing that will cleanse you from your sins. When the nation of Israel was in Egypt for 400 years, the last plague that was placed upon Pharaoh, they said the angel of death is going to come through tonight and wipe out all the firstborn in Egypt. But God said, what I want you to do is I want you to take a lamb without spot and out blemish, and I want you to kill the lamb, and I want you to take the blood of the lamb, and I want you to put it over the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes through and it sees the blood, it'll pass over the house. There you have your Passover. And see, when John the Baptist was in the Jordan River baptizing, he saw Jesus Christ coming, and he looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb without spot and without blemish who went to the cross at Calvary, and he died on that cross for you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that will cleanse you from all sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was that lamb without spot or without blemish. And as it says, it's the blood that makes atonement for your souls, because the wages of sin is death. Something has to die. And Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The reason Jesus said that I am the way of the truth and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through me, is because Jesus Christ was the only one that went to the cross. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. But God has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. and he died for you. No greater love than this would a man lay down his life for his friends. He did it for you. He loves you. And now, he wants you to come to him. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, that it is a gift of God. Jesus Christ was that gift. He died on the cross for you. He paid the penalty. The last thing he said is, "It is finished." But now, it's a gift. And if I go to hand you a gift, what do you need to do? You need to take it and receive it. And the Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. If you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord, and you can be saved. I want to pray for you. God knows your heart, friend. And I want to pray for you to receive Jesus as your life, as your Lord and Savior. Just say this prayer. God knows your heart. Lord Jesus, I admit that I have sinned before you. And I turn from my sin today, and I turn towards you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my strength. I belong to you now, Jesus. Come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need
If you've just received Jesus Christ into your life, or if you've made a recommitment, feel free to call 888-41-CROSS. Or give us a call if there's anything on your mind. We want to pray for you. We're excited about the decision you've made and would like you to call us with any of your needs. 888-41-CROSS or 888-412-7677. Once again, 888-412-7677. If you've become a Christian today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are four things that you can do to help your travel down the road of faith. Imagine a car with four tires. It's critical that you have sufficient air in all four of your tires in order to move forward. Consider that the first tire is reading the Bible, the Word of God. That's how God speaks to you. The second tire is prayer. That's how you speak to God. In other words, you're engaging in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The third tire is fellowship. That means you need to find a Bible-teaching church where you can be encouraged and built up, where you can pray with other Christians and for one another. The fourth and final tire is sharing your faith. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Sharing your faith is important because it allows God to use you for His purposes. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus and would like us to send you a Bible, you can contact us at 888-41-CROSS. That's 888-412-7677. Or you may write to us at Cross to Light, P.O. Box 945, Fairview, Tennessee 37062. You can also hear this message online at crosstolight.com. Cross to Light has been organized for the purpose of helping people cross from darkness to light by hearing the gospel message.